Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There are many ways to logically prove that the Bible is inspired of God, and there is no major problem to those of open mind who will investigate the evidence. But one of the convincing arguments is the compact manner that the Bible presents such all-inclusive concepts. For instance, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he made heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Friend, there are no useless words or meaningless phrases in the Bible. In two short verses, God has revealed the profound truth of his dealing with man throughout all time. And in view of the existence of God and the fact that he has created man, it is not surprising, is it, to learn that God hath spoken? It says God spake in time past by the prophets. At different times, God has spoken in various ways. In the Garden of Eden, he spoke directly to Adam and Eve. Genesis 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord God called unto Adam and said." God spoke to Abraham first one way, then another. He once informed him through angels that visited him in Genesis 14. Another time he used a vision, Genesis 15. Sometimes he spoke directly, Genesis 12. Always it was the voice of God, God's message. God sent angels to warn Lot to flee Sodom and the impending doom in Genesis 19. An angel is a messenger. The messengers delivered God's message. God addressed Jacob through dreams and through visions. Before Moses assumed the leadership of the Israelites, God spoke to him through the burning bush. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see it, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy ground." Moreover, he said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Exodus 3, verses 4 through 6. And notice again that the passage says, in time past, God spoke these ways. Friend, there was a time when it was common for God to so speak. 17 prophetic books are in the Old Testament, written by 16 prophets. Even before the writing prophets, we read of prophets like Elijah and Elisha. These prophets not only foretold the future, but they preached God's message as God's messengers to man. God spoke through them in a variety of ways in time past. And instead of a direct voice in dreams and visions, God now speaks to man another way. Our text tells us how. He tells us how he does not speak to man. He tells us how he does speak to man. Now there are those who claim to be modern-day prophets with a latter-day revelation from God. God predicted that there would be people like that who would make such claims, and he warned against them. Jesus said, "For false Christ and false prophets shall arise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." Mark 13:22. And it is a sad commentary that people are so easily led, they are so naive, they are so gullible, to be willing to follow whatever some people put forth, regardless of their claims or the validity of them. Many, I suppose, are honest and sincere in what they say and do. But making a claim and substantiating a claim are two very different matters. Let me illustrate. If I told you that Woodrow Wilson was the President of the United States in time past, but now another man was President, you would understand that Wilson is no longer the occupant of the presidency. And here is our text. We are told that in time past God spoke in certain ways, but not now. Now he speaks through his Son. It would mean that God no longer speaks in the ways that He formerly did. And how does God speak through Christ? What does it mean that God speaks through Christ? Obviously, Christ is not speaking to us in the flesh as He once did when He lived here upon the earth. He has ascended into heaven. He is no longer in the fashion as man among men. Nobody living today has heard the literal voice of Christ, even though some say they have. We're not without the message of God, however, the message that was given through Christ. In the first four books of the New Testament, we have many words that Jesus spoke, and when we read them, we are hearing Him. At the Mount of Transfiguration, it is said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him," Matthew 17 and verse 5. And before Christ ascended into heaven, He said, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth," Matthew 28, verse 18. You see, Christ is the one that has the preeminence, Colossians 1:18. To hear Christ is to hear the message of God, John 17 and verse 18, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." John 12:48 and 49. The Lord Jesus authorized the inspired apostles to speak in His name. For instance, in John the 14th chapter, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." In John the 16th chapter, we read, "Howbeit, Christ speaking to the apostles, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." And Jesus told his apostles, "He that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despiseth me, and he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me." Luke 10 and verse 16. Friend, God has spoken through Christ. Christ has spoken, His words being recorded in the written word. Through the apostles He spoke, as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. We have the teaching of the apostles, recorded in God's inspired word, the Scriptures. And when we read them, we hear them speak. When we hear them, we're hearing Christ. When we hear Christ, we're hearing God. This is the way that God speaks today through Christ. And to further emphasize the authority of Christ, consider Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 8. Paul said, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any gospel unto you other than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." And then Paul stressed this issue by repetition in verse 9. "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." A false gospel, a perverted gospel, a changed gospel, one that has been added to or taken from what God has spoken through Christ and His apostles, is a gospel that will not save, but will condemn not only those who follow after it, but certainly those who preach and teach it. Just because one teaches that Jesus is the Son of God does not mean that he's a sound teacher. Oh, he's true in what he has said there. But there are many points to the doctrine of Christ. And men are to respect all the gospel of Jesus Christ. When one departs from the truth, he is not to be fellowshipped or followed. 2 John tells us, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. When John speaks of the doctrine of Christ, he is talking about the teaching of Christ. What Christ taught, that body of truth that is called the gospel of Christ. And what Christ taught, the Holy Spirit guided the apostles to so teach. And what they taught is recorded for us in Scripture. God has made it clear in every age how men are not to tamper with what God has spoken. In Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. And again in the book of Deuteronomy, what thing I say unto you and command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. In Proverbs 30 verses 5 and 6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And as Revelation closes the inspired text, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Dear listening friend, the sufficiency and completeness of his recorded word is before us. Paul wrote, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, please hear it. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is, whole and complete, truly furnished unto all good works. Today, if we want to know God's Word, we must turn to this inspired book, the Bible. Therein we read of the will and covenant of Jesus Christ. Nothing more is needed. Nothing more is allowed. Nothing less will suffice. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.